Hi friends, let's learn today subject chapter 3, activities, course planning and control overall under our subject of distribution management. Let's have the set objectives for us, Yana. So under this particular subject, we are going to understand what is this distribution cost analysis is all about, Yana. What do you do actually? Importance of ratios, Yana. So generally the financial cost analysis are done using different types of ratios, what the distribution function audit is all about, and understand how to evaluate your distribution function. So let me move on to understanding why do we need planning and control. As you know, planning helps you to control. So both go hand in hand. If you have a plan, then you have a feasibility of some control. So it's an like distribution function been so critical. I have explained you through that cost model, revenue minus cost of sales minus cost of distribution, selling and marketing, you get your net margins, where most of the other aspects are not in under control, but only the distribution is under your control, and therefore so much of an emphasis. So that's what why you need a planning for the distribution function. It helps you to keep your function agile, healthy and grow as the organization challenges grow. It's of course cost includes the distribution, production cost, selling and other cost also. So with this we move forward to understand the activities surrounding the cost planning and controlling of distribution cost. Your logistics mix finally gets affected by the corporate profitability goals. When I say logistics mix, and it covers various means and modes, but at the same time in inventory, the kind of inventory level that you set, in communication, customer, this thing, how you set your objective and service delivery of communication, that also determines. So warehousing, the way the warehousing, the automation level, etc. So the logistics mix finally decides your corporate profitability. Budgets prepared is a starting point. So we have seen earlier, sales plan is a starting point of your distribution activity planning, distribution entire plan, which is linked with the warehousing costs, transportation costs, inventory costs, etc. So budget really is a start of the planning process. Distribution logistics is linked to the place part of the marketing, and therefore you understand why it is crucial. That's another dimension why distribution logistics is critical, because you know 4 P's of marketing. One of that P is the place. So place being so central to the 4 P's of marketing, distribution is linked to the place. So how you utilize, how you crystallize, or how you capitalize or make your that place catalyst to your customer engagement, delivery of service, etc., that determines your success, competitive differentiation in the market. It helps you to measure efficiency, work out your criteria for that you choose to evaluate yourself, and overall it helps you to measure your performance, and you may see your efficiency or inefficiency, etc. So let's understand the distribution cost analysis as a function. Of course, what it includes we need to know first. So it includes the cost of transportation of finished goods right throughout your channel. So all those linkages point, as I told you, till it reaches the consumers, various heads can be linked to it, so which is sales, margin per volume, production cost, etc. So how do you, what kind of costs are linked in this, that we get an idea. It should be continuously and consistently monitored. So what is needed is a continuity and a consistency in your analysis and monitoring, etc. What works out is the ratios. So ratios help you to know where you stand. So seasonality may be a part, certain ad hoc issues may be a part. It helps you to know whether are you on track or not. So we would like to explain you various key ratios, and here is the grammatical or a chart representation of understanding of ratios. As you see, it starts with intermediate ratios, and intermediate ratios again are further subdivided into grassroot ratios. So there are various grassroot ratios for various aspects of logistics or distribution function. As we go forward, we will try to understand. So grassroot ratios can be purely in a cost ratio, activity or combination thereof. Grassroot ratio collectively determines your activity intermediary ratios, and that finally brings your key ratios on the top. So as we said, transportation intermediate ratio. So I am talking about transportation intermediate ratio. Of course, it has a various grassroot ratios therefore. So we try to understand them. Yani here everything to do with your transportation. How will you measure your transportation effectiveness, efficiency, etc.? Generally, transportation cost is calculated as you mentioned. It is your sales or general gross profit margin or a cost of production. Minimal the better, or effort is to optimize it by taking into account various trade-offs. Grassroots ratios for the transportation intermediary ratios are three of different types. Here, transportation cost per unit of movement is considered. So, at a different chain under linkages, you use different transportation modes, etc. What is measured is the cost per unit of movement. So, the more volume, and it goes with the larger way of modes of transportation. So, if you have a really huge volume, container transportation will give you per unit cost lowest. If you have really large volume, but you transport it through, even if you FLT, a full truck load, that will still be higher than the container truck load could be. Transportation tasks being performed and vehicle utilization efficiency. So, these are the three grassroots ratios that it gives you. In the book, of course, you have not only the formula and the calculation. Transportation task performance is like what you planned versus what you actually achieved, as well as vehicle efficiency is like utilization is what capacity of your vehicle has been utilized. So, that's probably either the average of load carried vis-a-vis the installed capacity. So, every truck is say like generally a 10-ton trucker. Now, every time you took say like sometime 11, sometime 7, 8. So, the average suppose is 9. So, your efficiency is 80%. So, that's what transport intermediate ratio is, various grassroots ratios. Grassroots ratios we need to probably understand better. So, there is separate this thing out here. Transportation cost per unit movement is like when improving raw material, when you are like kind of bringing the raw material to your factory. So, even that's a cost to you. So, you manage that part. You try to measure the transportation cost per unit of movement for that also. Moving finished goods. So, from your factory to your entire chain of your distribution reaching retailers, and from the central warehouse to various CNFs, various nodes that we have discussed, what is your transportation cost per movement? So, you can monitor it in many ways. So, the stage of the goods, the movement of the goods, the nodes wise, etc. So, that's what I'm trying to convey through this slide. Example is given where it's like a task performance here means how much are you able to achieve. So, say Mumbai to Indore, a distance of about say 600 kilometers, transporter A takes 5 days for full truck load of 9 ton, while transporter B takes 4 days for the full truck load. Then A has made actually 600, which is the kilometers divided by 5, that is the number of days that it has taken, multiplied by 9, that is the truckload this thing. So, essentially he has kind of done 9 into 120 tons per kilometer per day. Vis-a-vis the B has done 9 into 150 tons per kilometer per day. And so, B turns out to be more task oriented. Task performance of B is supposed to be better. You can work this out between cities or for the same transporter, etc. So, there are variations that you can bring in. So, between cities, different transporter, same transporter, different cities, etc. So, this way you try to see that your transporters are performing to the peak of their expected operation level. The second is the utilization level, as I told you, is that how much you are utilizing your vehicle capacity. Higher trucks, or whether it is your own trucks, it has a capacity. So, higher truck for 10 hours a day for daily delivery, center 1, average 8 tons are carried. So, you have only utilized 80%. Center 2, average 9 is been taken for 90. So, the utilization is 90%. How much the company owned truck FLT utilization? So, these are what, as I said, every truck has a capacity, loading capacity being decided. Now, in that, how much you have loaded and carried, that will give you the vehicle utilization efficiency as such. So, what we discuss is the grassroots transportation ratio, which gives you the intermediate transportation ratio. Okay, so that intermediate transportation ratio is one of the key ratios. There are others to follow. So, we will take that as we move forward. The next is the warehouse facility intermediate ratio. warehouse facility intermediate ratio is everything to do with the warehousing operations. So warehousing operation, eventually, if I have to indicate to you about its effectiveness, is generally, again, like a transportation, it is a cost per sale, cost of per gross margin or gross margin, or cost per production cost of entire enterprise. Now, again, it also has a various grassroots ratios that we need to really understand. Warehouse rental rate per cubic feet, warehouse cubic feet utilization based on the available space, percentage of orders serviced within 24 hours, mechanization cost to sales, etc. So here the elaborate explanation like a transportation is not given. They probably may be the self-explanatory. Warehouse rental rate per cubic feet. So you have a warehouse in different parts of country. So you work this cost, this calculation will tell you where you are costly, where you are average, where you are below par, below average. So that you can then probably think of shifting your costly warehouses to somewhere else, etc. Warehouse cubic feet utilization. So warehouse is a cubical capacity. So from there, how much loading is happening there, so how much cargo is inventory has been stocked, which utilizes what part of your warehouse. So you come to know whether you have unwarrantedly large warehouse or whether you need to expand the existing warehouse because utilization is like almost peak. So that's how you utilize this ratio. Percentage of order service in 24 hours. So each warehouses, how many of them are able to service within the given criteria, below average, above average, etc. So that kind of a fulfillment rate will give you an idea. Mechanization cost per sales. So you invest a lot on mechanization. Now you try to find out this mechanization cost is what percentage of sales and whether over a period it is going down. So it shows an effectiveness and efficiency building in the system, and that will eventually bring your overall warehousing facility intermediary ratio lower. So that's about warehousing. Then comes the inventory intermediate ratio. Intermediate ratio about inventory is to do with the inventory cost. So calculate the amount of inventory held in number of days of sales. So you calculate that amount is calculated based on average inventory being held in terms of number of days. So average cost of inventory for each item and for average how many days it has been withheld in your position. So that gives you the amount of inventory carrying cost, as they say. So that's what very critical aspect. Now this inventory carrying cost is matched with whether your cost of sales or your gross profit, etc. So that's how you try to see whether it is above average, above industry average, about below your average. In some warehouse, in some warehouse it is higher than average. So those are the aspects that will come out. Grassroots ratios for the inventory could be of a different nature. They are like inventory carrying cost, that is the cost per unit or the percentage of inventory value. So you calculate your inventory carrying cost per unit. So what is your per unit inventory carrying cost? Because per unit inventory carrying cost eats into your margin, because your ability to sell that goods at a particular price is a market driven. Then percentage of inventory value, so percentage of inventory that you carry over a total amount of inventory that you have, etc. Stock turnover velocity. It's a stock turnover velocity is like how many times you are able to rotate your stock. So that's what stock turnover velocity. Stock shrinkage, high and low and low, the kind of thing, and average daily cost of sales, etc. So based on that, cost shrinkage aspects are calculated. Average number of days of stock. So on an average, how many days of stock are lying in your warehouse? Distribution center, be it collection center, etc. So average how many days of stock lies into your warehouse is one aspect of grassroots ratio monitoring. Damage to sales. So what is the cost of damage to total sales? So the certain goods gets damaged. So now if you adjust it against sales revenue, you will come to know the inventory management efficiency, etc. So that's all inventory intermediary ratios, and there are various grassroots ratios to that. So friends, through this understanding of various intermediary ratios and grassroots ratios therein, we have been able to understand key ratios. Key ratios being financial figures, it helps you to not only plan but also control things in a much better manner. So now we move on to the next aspect called productivity ratio. So this is one of the, again, a ratio. but it's not kind of an intermediary versus grassroots type of a pattern it has. It just measures your productivity. So productivity in terms of delivery productivity ratio. So like order fulfillment rate will vis-a-vis the total order received, etc., will give you the delivery productivity, or route potential ratio. So route potential ratios is like you have, you know, this is the potential, this is what order you have got for that route. Yeah, from that, what percentage of order you could fulfill in that route for the given period of time. Delivery productivity ratio, I would also like to mention, if it is looked at from the consumer point of view, so what percentage of your order received is being delivered to the consumer. So that will show you the productivity of your organization. Accidents ratios are like what number of accidents to the total number of visits made, or total number of trips made, etc. It could be then localized, it could be then regionalized, it could be zone wise, etc. So it will give you an idea where you need to focus to prevent accidents, etc., so that overall your accident ratios reduce. And then last is a service ratio. So like what part of goods being or order that you have in hand, you know, where service within what period of time, etc. So above the standard mission time, below average standard time, etc. Industry. Now all these thing aspects has a link with what you call a industry benchmark. So one need to really understand, you're doing this analysis for yourself is good for you, but you're doing this analysis matching with the industry will be your much better future preparation, because you are now putting yourself against evaluation vis-a-vis the industry. Now, if you have the industry benchmark known, then you are able to know that something which may look good to you, but as an industry benchmark, it is not good. So it tells you that this is an area that you need to really focus upon. So concept of industry benchmark also very much there when it comes to any of this intermediary ratio or productivity ratios. So what do we analyze? So why do we analyze in the distribution cost? We have understood what we analyze. Now, why do we analyze, you know, have to analyze the distribution cost? Essentially, ways in which the distribution cost can be analyzed is given first. Then we'll get into the why of it. Product or line of business wise. So I have given you examples. So I don't think so much, explanation is needed. So either whether you will have this distribution cost analysis per razor or shaving range, or say brand wise. So Milk Cadbury, then Crackles, etc. Segment wise, so like mass segment, targeted segment, niche segment, etc. So you have various marketing strategy and target strategy, etc. So you do segment wise, individual customer wise, or a group of customer wise, HNIs, like, so for example, funding companies and all, HNIs, NRIs, etc. So you probably do that kind of this thing even for your kind of customers, or say there are certain direct marketing customers, or you have certain regular institutional customers. So that's one way of analyzing it. Channel of distribution wise. So channel of distribution means you have various distribution options being practiced. I gave an example of Lenskart, who started as an online spectacle store, but later they have shops, a brick and mortar model also in certain cities. So now it is very critical for them to know this aspects from the brick and mortar versus online, what is the variations and why that variations, and if they match it with the industry benchmark, they know the areas of improvements needed. Geographical territory wise, zone. So as I told you, same can be analyzed region, zone, etc. So that will give you a better perspective as to which zone is doing better than the other. There are other aspects. It could be salesman wise, it could be service or sales function wise, etc. So overall, you will be able to then really pinpoint. All this effort is to know what your distribution cost, what is an average, what is an industry benchmark, and then you are able to determine who is doing better on what count, who is not doing better on which count, what could be the, then you get into the analysis of it, and then you try to get into the corrective measures. And so it will eventually help your organization. So why do we analyze distribution cost? Friends, we analyze this to get the profitabilities. So we need to understand our profitability, both category wise, segment wise, cost of sales, etc. So that's what the reason why we gauge the profitability, why we do this distribution cost analysis. Optimum sales value. Another way to look at this is sales volume forecasting. If it is difficult, or you have a sales volume forecasting on one end, which is arrived by the sales guy, but on the other hand, your distribution mission states ki bhai, you have to reduce your this cost, distribution cost, from rupees 2 to say 1.5. Now, with the given sales forecasting volume, it is not possible to achieve the distribution cost percentage as 1.5, this thing. So, then in that case, then you extrapolate the figure, which will be a figure higher than the sales team given target, and company, rather management, in many time goes by accepting that higher target, because they essentially know that if the distribution cost is minimized at that level, the possibility of better profit, net profit, etc. is higher. So management will always gun for such kind of a thing. So it's a way to calculate your sales volume based on your knowing what is the distribution cost that you want to achieve. To control the cost itself, and overall you figure out where the waste is happening, so you control it. Ensure right method of cost apportionment. So if you have these details, then you are able to apportion this cost to the right manner. Otherwise, it is a very macro level apportionment, which will not really reveal who's efficient, where the inefficiencies are, etc. And therefore, you will not be able to really plan your controlling or corrective measures. Plan optimizations, all plans can be optimized once the distribution costs and related aspects are clearly threshed out. So even sales plan, warehousing plan, inventory plan, etc. all can be tweaked to overall ensure the lower distribution cost per unit. Ultimately, if that happens, your ability to compete in the market increase manifold, your distribution efficiency will give a reach and easy availability, or vice versa, to stay competitive, you need to really promote and reduce price, you can even achieve that. So that's the advantage why we analyze distribution cost so intensely. So essentially, now we have understood the planning, we have understood the ratios and distribution cost analysis. So it is obvious that we need to now understand how do we audit all these aspects. So understanding distribution function audit becomes essential for us. So any audit is always against standards. Audit is done to determine whether you are on track or you are not on track. This is achieved by knowing what the standard is vis-a-vis what the reality are. So what could the standard could be? So as they say, it is accounting technique. There could be accounting way in which various standards are laid, which is determined with the interrelated discussions, etc. Company sets its own standards, etc. It may be not linked to any other aspects. Second is the industry benchmarks. Industry benchmarks is like all, say, bearing manufacturers can have one benchmark. And if you analyze the data, available data, you can derive at certain industry benchmark. There are ways in which probably you can do this to determine what is the on an average, expert opinions are collected, and that way you try to derive an industry benchmark, and then you audit yourself against that. Time-based trends, so over a period, the periodic trends are analyzed. So you not only evaluate your time-based trend, you evaluate the industry-based time trend, you probably evaluate competition time trend, time-based trends around certain aspects, which is a factor of your auditing requirements. Having done that, then it tells you where you stand as on today. Few accounting terminologies that has been used mostly are the return on assets or return on investment. What it tells you is that economic value of that particular asset that or the investment that you have made, on which how much your return is your essential criteria to know what it stands. So overall, even businesses gets analyzed in this manner. Overall business profitability, etc., whether business is worthwhile or not, the ROA or ROI is discussed. Same is the case with the distribution. So distribution, this thing, over the investment in the distribution function, you try to derive whether it is helping you or not. So that's how audit standards are generally set. And then the set standards help you to know where you stand based on your current analysis. So the distribution audit, function audit process generally takes into account issues or where the organization stands at a particular point of time. So both in terms of physical material flows, it analyzes the financial etc. It analyzes the key ratios as I mentioned to you, grassroots and intermediary level both. And from there, how the same matches with the information flow. Yani. So you have an information available which when compared yani, will give you average versus deviations idea, and that average versus deviation. So when I said the first point, what it means is that you probably have a zone idea or you probably have a route idea, etc. The information flow which I am referring to is that collective organization-wide information that you have. So you measure your zone performance with the company performance, or you measure your product performance with the competing with the revenue, etc. So that's how you try to do your analysis based on the information available within the organization. How cost effective the system is, that you will be able to determine. So based on your information available, which is generic and which is company wide, versus specific functional analysis that you have, you try to see how are you doing overall, not only internally from your base set target, etc. You probably know also in, externally vis-a-vis the industry wide, how is your performance. Yani. So distribution function audit essentially has to address these issues. Yani. Audit process should address the issues of external environment, internal factors, product related, distribution patterns and systems, etc. So when I say that external environment, it has to do with the various other external factors which are not in your hand. So market conditions, the economy, the competing tactics and the strategy, etc., which is not in your hand. So that has to be taken into account. Internal factors are like your productivity, your efficiency, your process legs and etc., wastages, etc., indecisions and delays, etc. So all those aspects which impact your overall distribution and logistics cost and the function, that is a subject matter of your internal factors related aspects that needs to be looked at. We have studied that it has overall aspects like transportation, warehousing, inventory and communication cost, etc. This needs to be really looked in because that is internal to you. Then comes, we have earlier studied concept of inbound logistics and outbound, and then marketing service margins, you know, all leading to margins, etc. So from that various umbrella of angle, you can get into your internal factor related issue based assessment. Product related, so product life cycle at which the product is, and product issues, customer service rates, that product, this thing, etc., utilitarian aspects. So there are certain ways that you can determine your product related aspects, distribution pattern, yani. So overall the effectiveness of the distribution, the cost of distribution, channel wise distribution cost, its impact on the margin, etc., can be studied to find out whether are you on a right level, whether you are on a better level or whether you are not on the better level, etc. Internal targets versus external benchmarks, both system wise. And so system wise, when I say it's all to do with your entire infra in terms of IT and connectivity and networking, etc., that you have set. So that is what is comes as your system based auditing issues that you need to really look at. So essentially product related, distribution pattern related and system are also part of your internal factors. Yani. Besides the other aspects that I have covered, these three are also critical important internal factors that one need to audit process needs to take into account. So what should the distribution function audit map? Yani? So what should they look at? And that's what the meaning of this title is. Yani. So it should start with understanding the logistics objectives, then it should get into the communications and flow of info. So it then gets into understanding the how the whole process which triggers the requisition to final invoicing of intended goods, etc. So that's the map that they create. Based on this, various levels flowcharts are developed. So flowcharts and the flow patterns are developed. You saw some of the types of the graph. They really get created. Then the flowcharts are made to see if there is any redundant steps or process or anything. For that, various measuring criteria which are there, they are put in before that. So that's how they try to derive utility of each and every process, steps and what has been done. And through financial measures, etc., or through target versus actual, they try to determine effectiveness of that function, that particular logistics part or the distribution management part. Identify the points at which the performance can be measured. So yes, Janet, to measure, you must know what to measure, where to measure. So you determine the milestones. So milestones, when determined, you know what information is available to you. You know whether the target is set or not. You know whether you have an industry benchmark or not, etc. So then that's the level at which you decide that you will get into doing the assessment. And so that's the milestone that you set for yourself. Locate and prioritize areas of interdependencies between logistics functions and other functions. What is essential is you need to differentiate the logistics functions own functioning vis-a-vis logistics functions driven functioning. So driven functioning is something which they depend upon. Logistics depends upon distribution management. We have seen one of the tasks, the sales management function comes into picture to manage the distribution of goods. So now they are dependent on that. So any inefficiency on their part will also reflect on the logistics functions part. So critically very important to know what is interdependent and what is exclusive aspects of the logistics and the distribution management. You should focus more on what is exclusive and try to figure it out. Not that you don't draw an attention towards what is interdependent causing the inefficiency in the process. And so that also can be highlighted. So that's what is generally mapped when you do any distribution function audit. Extent to which the existing processes are achieving their purpose, you therefore derive, and ultimately you try to derive what is an achievement and what are you achieving out of doing various activities. These are some of the things that can help you. And a service perception audit, how do you measure where you stand? So you do a service perception audit among your consumers, you do competitor audits as to what they are doing, how they are doing, how efficiently they are doing. You do channel audits, so you not only figure out channel statistics performance through internal information, but you also try and take the channel partners feedbacks, etc. Material supply audits, so this is all grassroots and intermediary audit ratios that we have told you. Same is for the material, like the fulfillment rate, the damage rate, the wrong orders rate, the return rates, etc. So various aspects, if linked to the material movement, you come to know the effectiveness or the efficiency of your functioning. Finished good distribution audit, the way the order is received, the fulfillment, whether you have achieved higher fulfillment rate per day, whether you have achieved higher fulfillment exactness level. So customer has ordered these three items and you have packed these three items, means you have achieved 100% fulfillment. This thing, but some items you wrongly packed. So over a period of days, you did 50 packets of three such items. However, the combinations being different, it is possible that at the end of the day, you found that out of 50, three packets were wrongly packed. So that's how you move forward. Then that's movement to the distribution center. So whether distribution center, right distribution center has received the right goods, etc. Same is the applicable for the return of goods, etc. So that's what distribution function audit measures, everything to do with the finished goods and related aspects. So this is what critical is all about. Evaluation of distribution function. So now finally what we come at a stage is to know how do we evaluate the distribution function. So it's a performance measurement stage. When do you need such things? Before that, let's ask a question. It becomes critical if you notice some of the symptoms or the signs, etc. Organization decides to make a major shift in the strategic and corporate objectives, etc., or a marketing game plan change, etc., or addition of a new channel, etc. So in such case, the distribution or function audit is needed. Size of the organization changes. Organization decides to scale up, tie up, or enter into a joint venture, etc., which allows larger footprints and all. So in such case, they have to do the distribution function audit. New products or a new business are added to the distribution systems. Obviously, in such case, you need to really figure out how will these entire aspects of the new product or new channel, etc., will get handled. Signs of misdistribution are manifest. You often get the higher and higher complaints about not receiving the right goods, etc. So that's a manifestation of the sign that there is something wrong with the following of your process, and therefore it needs to be audited to determine what is not adhered to, what is redundant, what needs to be improved upon, etc. Inventory turn is very slow. You have a past precedence, your past ratios of your inventory turnover, that is the round it takes in a year or a specific period. Now, if you notice that this inventory turn is going down, that means there is something wrong in your system somewhere. Either some items have become slow moving items, some items have become obsolete, etc. So, you need to really look into those. So, those things will come out by doing this distribution function audit. Poor customer service, you start getting higher number of complaints, or you start getting higher damaged parts per this thing, etc. There are many ways where you get those signals. So, if that is the case, then you know that you need to get into doing a distribution function audit. Inter warehouse shipments, you suddenly notice a spurt in one warehouse transferring goods to the other warehouse, or some warehouse is getting into short supply often, and therefore it has to call for the goods from nearby warehouse to meet his requirement, etc. So, this clearly indicates there is something wrong in the sales plan based on its micro divergence into distribution center wise, something has gone wrong. So, you therefore need a distribution function audit to set things right. Premium freight charges. Very often then required, or then rarest of rare case type of a scenario, you find that goods many times are getting shipped paying premium charges because you are forced to deliver this early. So, to force to deliver this early, you have to use transporter who can do it, he will demand you a premium charge for the transportation, etc. So, in such case, it is a symptoms also that if many times you start using premium freight delivery service, then something is wrong in your distribution and therefore you need a distribution function audit. However, what is important for me to drive your attention to is it is not that this is that needs to be checked and then you find something is wrong and just attend that. So, only bandage is not going to work. What needs is a real attention to the root cause. So, you must analyze why this is happening. So, the root cause of your, say, like inter warehouse, this thing, if it is the wrong sales planning, you may probably put up a the bandaging could be that you say, ke bhai, every time the inter warehouse transshipment has to happen, the managing director permission is needed. But that's a bandaging. You are not really attended the root cause that your sales planning is happening wrong. The people in that zone or that area is not doing a right sales planning. So, you attend the root cause, you make them do a proper sales plan. That will help you to factor your micro DC based planning, warehouse based planning, etc. So, important is the root cause and handling the root cause. That's what I was trying to drive home. Distribution function audit based probing. So, what kind of a probing that one can have? Auditors have findings and numeric data and the trends in front of them. So, you as an auditor, you have got this. So, what will you probe? So, you need to probe unsupported variations. There is something which is not supported, but it has happened. Approval is not there, it has happened. So, why that is happening? Unexplained variations. You are not able to find an explanation that determines certain movements, certain changes in the costing, certain changes in the expense, etc. So, unexplained variations, unsupported spend, something which is being spent without proper authority, approval, etc. Unanalyzed route planning, etc. So, you can get into that, why it has been randomly sent, there is no route plan found, etc. Unevaluated selection of a transporter, those kind of aspects comes out. Also, look at areas like warehousing, whether warehouse is at the right place, inventory policies, etc. You should get into communication challenges and how that is addressed. So, those are the areas that you can get into to probe better with the available information. So, this and similar such aspects when you probe, you will be able to dig out where the problem lies. And if you dig out the root cause, then it is easy for you to do a proper change. Recording and compliances. So, ultimately like you have audited the things, but it is not an end in itself. What is needed is proper recording of what you have observed. So, first record your observations, discuss with the stakeholders, let the stakeholders have the first access and a right to explain. Having done that, with their help, develop the action plan. So, you ask him only, why, what is he going to do about it? So, those action plans, etc., which are prepared and shared with a higher authority, then create a monitoring mechanism. So, this action plan needs to be monitored by somebody. you put somebody in a charge of it, and then whenever there is a non-compliance, that needs to be discussed with the right stakeholders, so that overall the focus on the action plan remains, effort to drive correction also is there, intensity is there, and therefore you will see the result coming in. Out of hand aspects to be brought up, you may however find many times that there are certain things which is happening routinely, there are certain things which is just not getting controlled, etc. And you sense that this cannot be handled only at the stakeholders level, then it is your onus to bring out such out of hand aspects to the higher authority. Always, however, we say that don't discuss and close it at the stakeholders level. Always keep the higher level informed. So that's the general compliances that you should follow. With the stakeholders, you're developing an action plan, and going away is a secret closing, as we say. And you must make him responsible by opening up your observations to the higher authority. Yes, you have given the stakeholder a chance by developing an action plan to stand for himself, but by not sharing it with the higher authority, you have kind of given him a signal that whether he manages or doesn't manage, he will be able to manage you next time. So that's not what you are there as an auditor. So auditor's role is to properly record, create an escalation, bring out of hand perspective clearly in the eyes of the management, always keep higher management informed, however, with the approach of participative, this thing with the stakeholders to develop the action plan, monitoring is set, and monitoring of the deviations versus fulfillment is always monitored, action plans is either tweaked or further activities or tasks are created to see that you achieve the desired action plan based result. That's how the audit will yield you the fruitful outcome. So that's the importance of distribution function audit. So friends, thank you very much. We have studied in this particular chapter the process of distribution key ratios that one can analyze. We have understood what is intermediary ratios and grassroots ratios. We have got into distribution function audit and when to do and the way you do it. So thank you very much.